you. You may be seated. Hallelujah, here below is maybe the perfect line for the guy and the story we're going to be talking about today. Because it's Jonah in the belly of the fish near the bottom of the sea. Hallelujah, here below. So hopefully we'll get to hallelujah eventually, but we're going down first. All right? We do enter into this passage here that we're going to look at today in the story of Jonah, remembering that what he has done is he's been given a calling and a mission from God that he is running from, okay? He is running away from God's mission, God's calling on his life, and as he runs, a storm comes from God to take him out, and then he is then thrown into the sea. And so as he is now, that is where we are starting right now as Jonah is about to cry out from rock bottom. So I'd encourage you to turn to Jonah 1:17. So grab your Bibles, turn on your Bibles. Jonah 1:17. Now, this is a little bit of a hard one. It's about a page and a half or two in your Bible. So I get it. I've got the string in here, so I just go right to it. It's not that hard, you guys. Come on. And so the Bible's, though, in the back of the seat there. It's page 657, if that's helpful. 657 in those Bibles. And we get into Jonah 1:17 to 2:10. And it is kind of this just what we think of when we think of Jonah, okay? Here we go. The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish, and he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. You heard my voice. For you had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I've been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward your holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto dry land. Okay, the end of our story today. Now, it's crazy. And his prayer is so, you know, poetic and perfect in some way, but actually it's terrible in a lot of ways as well, as we just consider Jonah and what's going on in him and his life and kind of what will continue to happen. But we're in this like very sort of Sunday school familiar story, right? Where you've got Jonah in the belly of this great fish that we've called a whale for some reason, because that's the biggest sort of sea creature we can think of. And so you've got Jonah here, and I'm just kind of wondering what your mind pictures. For me, it goes straight to Pinocchio, right? And you've got Geppetto just like in there on a boat inside of the belly of the whale with his like candle and writing something, you know? It's like whatever's happening in here, and like that is not what Jonah was experiencing, okay? Now, I don't know that for sure, but that's at least my hunch, is that's not what he's experiencing, nor these strange sort of Sunday school pictures that we find with like little robed perfect Jonah sitting calmly in some weird looking giant fish thing. And so you got this sort of a deal, and now you've got like, color this in, little children. This is Jonah. He was kneeling in prayer. In some way, they're right. Like, all we know that happens in this entire 3 days and three nights is this prayer. That's all we know. The rest of the time, we're not sure. Maybe he was having like a little dance party with like a disco ball and a four-poster bed and a weird octopus friend. I don't know what artists are thinking when it comes to this story, but I can't find like one that feels more realistic other than this dude that actually got like kind of half swallowed by a whale, a real whale. If you can see the flipper here, sorry, dude's butt here. Okay, so you've got this situation happening and this guy is getting swallowed by a whale. Only just for a short amount of time. He eventually got out very quickly, but he went home and told the story to his son named Jonas. We actually had a guy up here singing named Jonas today, so it all's, you know, just really tied well together. But we don't know, like, what is really going on in this belly of this fish. I can't imagine that it's that pleasant, all right? I just can't imagine it being that pleasant. But what we do know is what Jonah does is he prays. He cries out because Jonah's going down. Jonah is descending throughout this book. He goes down to Joppa. He goes down into the heart of this ship. He goes down into the sea. And then he goes down into this belly of this fish. And he's going down, down, down. He's on his way away from God, on his way to death. And then he's swallowed up by this fish. And at that point, he cries out to God. It's at that point that it says that he finally prays and cries out to God. So my point for us here is to call up when you're going down, okay? Call up when you're going down. Because there are seasons in our life when we are going down, but it is what Jonah did was call up. Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish, and he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. Called out to his God. But it was not till he was all the way down, finally stripped away of all of his self-sufficiency, his will being made perfect instead of God's will being made perfect. It was when he was stripped of all of that, he finally cries out to God. And it's really the story of the people of Israel. I mean, when you look at the people of Israel, you see a people, especially maybe through the book of Judges, right, where they have everything going right and they sort of forget about God. Then they start getting attacked by all these enemies. And then they finally cry out to God as they're being attacked. God rescues them. Then everything's going good. They forget about God. They get attacked. They cry out to God. God rescues them. And just like repeat cycle over and over and over again throughout that book of Judges. And it's a pattern for them and a pattern for Jonah and a pattern for us in our life where we end up being in places where we are going down and we need to call up to God. And God rescues. And so whatever's going on in your life today, whatever's happening in the midst of your struggle or you think back to the points where you've been running from God, what I want to say to you is that you cry out to God in the midst of that, and God responds. God rescues. And God's grace is big enough that you might not be able to know how to pray everything correctly. Jonah, in the midst of this prayer, you know, I kind of like, I'm like looking in the prayer, waiting for, I ran away from you, God, in disobedience, and I'm really sorry. You know, like, I'm not, it's like, where are the words that I want to see in this prayer? Now, he's pretty poetic, and I'm sure he wrote it down when he got home a little bit better than it sounded when it came out, you know? but it's like, what, Jonah, where is it now? He does say he's going down. He's been expelled from God's sight because of his sin, but you might be terrible at prayer, but God's grace is big enough that with whatever comes out of your mouth, God responds. God's grace is big enough that even when you're selfishly motivated, that his grace can cover that however you cry out. If you might not understand all of God's will or all of the theology and the doctrines of the scriptures, and you just know I'm going down and I need God, God's grace is big enough to be there for you in the midst of that moment. And so you might think, man, I don't think I'm going to do anything right in the future, but I need you, Lord. God's grace is big enough for you in the midst of your moment now, no matter what you will do in the future, that God's grace is there for you in that. And so I want you to hear that as you cry out, God hears you, because God is there for Jonah. because Jonah cries out. Not because Jonah's perfect, not because Jonah's got it together, but because he cries out to him. And so it's not just hitting rock bottom, okay? Jonah is hitting his rock bottom, okay? He is at the lowest of the low, drowning in the sea from his disobedience. And then he gets swallowed by a fish, and you think that's when he's rescued. And I think, like, wait, being rescued was being swallowed by a fish? Like, I'm thinking that's actually the end of the story, not like when it's like you've been saved. But for us, that's like, okay, yes, he's not drowning now, but he's finally just kind of probably just somehow alive in the belly of this fish, and he cries out to God. It's not just hitting rock bottom, it's prayer at rock bottom. We think of that for our loved ones or our friends that are not turning to God, and you think, well, I think they just got to hit rock bottom, right? Once they hit rock bottom, they're going to realize that they need God. And hopefully that's what we have to pray for, is that not that they'll hit rock bottom, but that they'll turn to God in prayer and crying out to him in the midst of the lowest of the low moment for them. And so I ask you, what do you do at rock bottom? How will you cry out to God when you're at your lowest moments of your life? I want you to know that you can cry out to God no matter what you've done. You don't have to wait till you kind of fix yourself up a bit. In fact, that's the worst thing you could ever do, is try to fix yourself. You got to just cry out to God and for him to come, and he will rescue. You see, you never realize that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. You never realize Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. When we hit these lows in our life, these are points where we remember, God, I know that you're everything that I need in the midst of this. I mean, when I had it all together, like the Israelites, when they have it all together, they kind of forget about God. And so sometimes when we need to hit these lows in our life and we recognize, Lord, I need you. You are all we need, and you are actually all we have. You know, we sent out a couple of emails this week, and I talked about this last week, but about our brother, Matt Davis, that he resigned a little over a week ago as a pastor here at Calvary Church. If you'd not hear that, I'd want you to be able to hear this now. And he said that in that to work on himself, to work on his marriage, and to work on his family, that he said that he committed sinful behavior that disqualified him to serve as a pastor. And, you know, as crazy as it was, as I was to announce that last week, was a sermon written by him called God Disrupts Our Disobedience. And now here it's cry out to God when you hit rock bottom, you know? And there's these moments in our life. And for Matt, my prayer is for him right now in the midst of this, to pray for him. And he is realizing this, that this moment of Jesus is all you need, because Jesus is all I have, these sorts of feelings of these moments where you really cry out to God. And so I want us to be in prayer for him, for Jesus to meet him in a deep and intimate and amazing, incredible, saving kind of way in the midst of this big low for him. And then I also recognize that for many of you, this happening, you know, him doing this, this is a low for you because of that. And we get that. And you might think, Matt helped like save our marriage. You know, what's going on here? Like, what? Why is all of this happening? Because he did. He's like helped so many of you in so many incredible ways. And so my prayer then for you is for you to recognize and remember, for me to recognize and remember, that Jesus is the one that we are to fix our eyes on, okay? Jesus is the one for us to look to. Let me tell you, if you are looking to me, I will fail you over and over again. He doesn't say fix your eyes on your leaders. He says fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on him, because he will never, ever fail you, okay? I want you to hear that. And you cry out to God, not just in your sin, but in your hurt, all right? In all these sorts of moments, we cry out to God. And Jesus is what we need. Jesus is what all of us need. And so I want us to know that and to remember that and to look to that. And there's some huge truths about grace in the midst of this that I think are important for kind of this moment for our church, but just in general for us to recognize all the time, okay? Like, there are some big truths about grace that Jonah prays, and sometimes I don't know whether he totally, like, understood. I don't think he understood all of these truths about grace, but he kind of teaches us along the way, at least. So we're going to see as the story goes. Jonah kind of just has an attitude problem, okay? Jonah keeps going and keeps making mistakes over and over, and that's something that is sort of encouraging, even though it's, like, kind of not the best story. It's sort of encouraging because I also know... I also know how I operate, right? I also know how probably you operate, is that we don't, like, have a moment and then get perfect forever after that, right? We don't have a growing or a learning time in our life, and now we just have it all together now perfectly. You know, like, Jonah is a pretty real and raw story. And so there's some truths, though, about grace that I think there are for us that he either knowingly or unknowingly prays. And it's the first is this. We deserve nothing but condemnation, okay? We as people deserve nothing but condemnation. Jonah in verse 3 and 4 in here, he says a couple things. You cast me into the deep. I've been expelled from your sight. That there is this condemnation that we as people do deserve for our sin. And we are taught by our culture today that we live with too much shame. And that is, at times, maybe even most of the time, true. But I think something that we've kind of done is because of this is we've also sort of thrown out guilt as well, and that we shouldn't have to feel guilty about anything, that moral standards are just a social construct, or they're relative, that nobody should make you feel guilty about anything that you do. You should just be able to do whatever you want. We live in a culture that's telling us that, and so then you've got the Bible's persistent message that we are guilty sinners. That comes across as oppressive, if not evil or dangerous, in the midst of our culture and our society. And so then, what's the point of grace? Grace is an insult. Grace is an afterthought. If we think that we don't deserve condemnation and we are not guilty, what's the point of grace? Grace is mercy that we don't deserve. And so we have to recognize as people that we deserve nothing but condemnation before we can even begin to understand what grace is. The second thing for us to understand about grace is that we are utterly incapable of saving ourselves. We cannot fix ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. Jonah in verses 5 and 6, he's like sinking. The earth with its bars was around me forever. These weeds are wrapping around my head. Okay, he is sinking. He is dying. He cannot save himself. And I think he gets that. I think he understands that. Jonah realizes that he has no hope in what he can do. But here's another thing that we're taught in our culture today, and even in Christian culture, okay? We are taught that with hard work and religious observance, you know, doing everything right, that we can save ourselves, that we can fix ourselves. Sometimes whether that's actually, like, preached, or if that's just sort of message received in the way we're treated, that we think that as long as we do all this stuff right, we can be saved. But grace can only be realized when we recognize that we cannot absolve ourselves of our sin. It is impossible. So we are, you know, we deserve nothing but condemnation, and we can't save ourselves. Well, so the third truth about grace is this. There is a great cost to the salvation that God provides. There is a great cost. Now, that cost is supposed to be upon us. That cost is for us. What we see Jonah do, interestingly enough, in verse 4 and verse 7, he says, "While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple." Okay? The temple of God, where sacrifices are made, where blood sacrifices are made for the atonement and the covering of our sin. That blood of those animals being sacrificed was to forgive our sins in this Old Testament model, right? And so Jonah, as he looks to the temple, is remembering that there is cost to this salvation. That's the part I'm not sure if he totally got it at that moment or whatever, but, you know, maybe he wrote it. But what for us to remember after Jesus has come, that Jesus went to that cross, and when he went upon the cross and he died there, he took that cost that we are to pay for our sin, and he took it upon himself, and he paid that heavy, heavy cost himself. When we take communion, you maybe see the stations around the room. When we take communion, we remember that as we receive the bread, we remember his body was given. He gave his very body over. He shed his blood as we drink from the cup. We remember that he shed his blood to pay this cost. All right, so these truths about grace are so important for us to recognize. It's so important for us to remember all of this about grace. And what's so cool too, though, I think, is that God gives grace fully no matter what your future actions will be, okay? You cry out to him, grace is given, even though he knows you're going to sin again and sin again. Jonah will. Jonah is a whiny, pouty baby that doesn't want to see people get saved because he doesn't like them. I mean, that's like pretty dark, right? That's pretty dark. And so for us to see like, okay, Lord, you will forgive me no matter what I will continue to do. You will rescue me. You will save me. Your grace is here for me because it is not about what we do. It seems like a horrible investment for God as he keeps giving grace and paying the cost and we keep blowing it and he pays the cost again and we keep blowing it and he pays the cost again, right? Like God gives and gives and gives. Now, something I want us to kind of pause and remember is that in the midst of this whole moment where he is being rescued by God, he is. But it's not pleasant, okay? This isn't a pleasant 3 days. And I think for me, this is like a picture or a reminder that when we sin, God rescues, that God saves us eternally. But to remember that in the midst of this life here on earth, we will bear and pay consequences for the sins that we commit, right? We will. We will. Jonah had a storm. He was drowning. He was in a fish belly for 3 days, covered in stench and bile, and I don't know what else is going on inside there, but it cannot be a pleasant experience. He is suffering in the midst of this because of running from God. And so when our sin, when we break a law, God will forgive us, but we're still going to go to jail or pay whatever consequence that we have. When we break a relationship in some way, God forgives us, but we have to deal with kind of the hurt and the fracturing of that relationship. When we have a substance that we abuse to the point of, you know, us just, our life being ruined by that, God will forgive us, but we're still dealing with the fallout of that in our life, that we have these consequences. So when the scriptures say, flee from sin, run to God, that's why God doesn't want you to have to deal with all of that fallout. He's like, I'm here, I'll forgive you. But do you really want to spend all that time covered in fish guts and bile and rot? Or you'd rather have the life, this beautiful life that God has for you, that he wants to give you. Sin makes a mess in our lives. But we know that even in the midst of that mess, salvation is from the Lord. Salvation is from the Lord. Look at your Bible. Look at verse 9. That very last line, he says, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving that which I have vowed I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. A lot of people say, actually, this verse is sort of the central verse in the Bible, because in 5 short words, it tells you really what the whole point of this book is about, that salvation is from God. What's cool is, if you know Jesus' name in Hebrew, Yeshua, that also this word salvation, it's Yeshua, okay? And so it's Yeshua brings Yeshua. That salvation, Jesus brings salvation. Salvation is from the Lord. That we get that from Jesus. And there's no better picture of the gospel of Jesus than what is this amazing thing happening in this story, that Jonah goes and he sinks down. Jesus dying, okay? He's swallowed up by that fish as Jesus is swallowed up in that grave, in that tomb. And he's in that tomb just like Jonah's in this fish for 3 days. And then he's vomited out, Jonah is the symbol of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This amazing visual and that we have here, and this foreshadowing of what is to come, of what Jesus will do. 1 Corinthians 15:54 shows that Jesus does even more, because that grave, that tomb, tried to swallow Jesus. But Jesus swallowed death. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? That is what Jesus has come, and what he has done through his death and resurrection is he has defeated death. He has defeated hell, and he now reigns supreme and is able to give us that forgiveness that we don't deserve. God redeems the Ninevites. God saves Jonah. None of them deserve it. Neither do you, neither do I. But God doesn't save Jonah because Jonah is good. God saves Jonah because God is good. Amen? Come on. God saves Jonah because God is good. God is good, and that's what he does. That's what his name is. Yeshua means that he saves. Jesus saves. And so I want to think about how we could respond to this story today, this crazy story of a dude getting thrown in the ocean, sinking to his death, swallowed up by a fish, praying this crazy, beautiful prayer, and then getting vomited out onto the sand. The way I want us to respond to this is with a prayer of desperation of our own when we are sinking to our lowest point in our life. I was just thinking of three prayers of desperation. This one that we've gone through today in Jonah, we've talked about it, where it's just, I need you, God. I need you to save me. I've got weeds wrapping around my head. I'm lost. I can't do this. So I look to your holy temple for rescue. You've also got the one in Luke 15. This is commonly known as the prodigal son's prayer, okay? This is the prayer that the prodigal son is practicing as he's walking back to his father. He says, I'll say something like this. Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. This is a prayer of desperation. He doesn't want any glory. He just wants to be back in his father's arms. What's cool is he gets about this far before his father had run up to him and grabbed him up and loves him. He couldn't even get out the last line of his prayer. That's the kind of prayer that maybe we need to pray to God today. But I think whatever prayer that you would pray, the most important thing you can pray is your heart's honest cry. You know, I tell people when I'm baptizing them, like we did at the beach a couple weeks ago, I just say, hey, just right here, just me and you, just say words to God that you'd want to say to him now, right? It doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be good. A lot of times people have never prayed out loud before. Just pray whatever you've got in your heart. And I get this privilege to hear in the midst of that moment some of the most genuine, beautiful prayers to God that you would, you know, like think don't, like, you know, they don't sort of fit this like perfect poetic way, right? But they're raw and they're honest, and that's why they're beautiful. And so I want you to pray your heart's honest cry to God today, to cry out to God for that grace you don't deserve in the midst of some of these most difficult situations in your life. And so wherever you're at, you might need to pray and cry out to God for your greatest sins. You might need to pray and cry out to God for your deepest hurt that you're feeling today. You might need to pray and cry out to God for your worst fears that you're facing right now in your life. You might need to cry out to God for that situation that only God can change that you're in right now. And you might just need to continue to cry out to God for that person that you love that you don't believe can be saved. Wherever you're at, with whatever you're thinking about, whatever you're going through, what's the deepest cry of your heart today? Cry that out to God, and God responds. God rescues. God saves. That's who he is. That's what he does. And so as we're going to respond today, we're going to worship and sing. We're going to have a chance to come to these stations to remember in communion. A chance to go to the prayer points to receive prayer as you just want to pray and cry out from your seats. I'd even ask for those of you, as you're coming up, one thing I just want to continue, I just want to keep us in mind is this incredible deaf community over here that we love. And let's just try and be careful to not walk in front of them. It's kind of like interrupting someone, okay? So as best you can, go to the station that is the easiest to not walk right in between the interpreter and the folks there that are hearing the message. So let's pray now and come before God and say, Lord, here is my heart's deepest cry. Heavenly Father, I just cry out that I need you, Lord. Lord, we have hurt and we have struggle and we have confusion. I, Lord, have that. And so, God, I cry out to you today. Lord Jesus, meet me here, Lord. Lord, lift me up. I need you, God. It's too hard on my own, Lord. God, I pray for each person here that we would be able to cry out to you with the deep, honest need inside of us. And especially for just unresolved sin that we have in our life, God, I pray that we would bring that to you today. Bring that to you today, knowing that we cannot save ourselves, that we need your grace, because we don't deserve anything but condemnation, God, but your grace covers that condemnation. Thank you, Lord. So God, meet us here at our lowest points and draw us up, lift us up out of the pit, God. Thank you, Lord, that you do and that you paid the cost. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's worship together.